All right, let's get started here. Alrighty, QST, QST, QST. This is Tom Fry, net control for the Deck Tuesday at 1900 hours, local time in the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club repeater. 147.330 megahertz, offset of 600 kilohertz, and a PL of 131.8. This net is conducted to every Tuesday, sometimes, at 1900 hours. Conditions permitting, this repeater is solely owned, operated, and maintained by the Big Bear Amateur Radio Club. We wish to thank the BBARC for the use of the repeater for this net. The purpose of this net is to provide and promote technical knowledge, education, and information of amateur radio and all technology. Gateway to spark interest in various aspects of amateur radio communications and new breakthroughs in technology. Before I begin, is there any emergency or prior traffic? Please call KF6Q. Hearing none, are there any bulletins or announcements for the net? Please call KF6Q. All right, well, the only announcement is, of course, we have a major race this weekend coming up. ECS will be using this repeater, and a lot of bicyclists out there on the highway, please drive carefully. All right, let's get going here with the roster. And let me get the other page here, starting with, first on my list is KA6CIA George.
And Tom, KA6CIA.
George, glad to see you out there this evening. Let's see, this was the second Tuesday. I guess I missed the doggone Teddy Bear Tuesday's breakfast, oh well. There's another one down the road. Okay, let's move on down to KJ6FIL.
This end accounted for. KJ6FIL. Out here somewhere.
Good deal there, Mike. Yeah, it's supposed to cool off and be low 70s today. I think it was 84 when I looked at the thermometer today. It's a far cry from 72. Well, hopefully it's going to cool off for you down there, dumb bit. It was hot too in Redlands. How about WA6ITC Rod? From Rod out there. Alrighty. How about KJ6KDLGM and KJ6KDK Rosemary?
KJ6KDL here with
KJ6KDK.
Well, good deal there, Jim and Rosemary. Glad to see you out there. Hobbling along I am still, but that's okay. That's therapy. I have to force myself into it. I don't know. All right, let's move on to KI6IQA Kelly.
Good evening, KI6IQA.
Hey, good evening, Kelly. Hopefully you're up for a Verizon after the net. Got a couple real simple questions about some DG. All right, moving on down here to K9AOG Steven. Let's see if he's out there. All right, nothing from Steven. How about K6GBL Ron Green Valley?
Good evening, Tom and Annette. This is Ron, K6GBL Green Valley Lake.
Glad to have you out there, Ron. Appreciate that. How about AD6PL Harold in Riverside?
AD6PL.
And good evening there, Harold. Hopefully you guys are going to cool off out there. Alrighty. Let's move over here to KJ6PYV Dave.
Good evening, Tom and Annette. KJ6PYV checking in from Sugarloaf.
Good deal there, Dave. Glad to have you out there. Alrighty. Let me see. How about K6YNW Chris? TV's out there. You're not hearing Chris. How about W6POO Chip? All right, I don't hear a chip out there either. How about KD6LAN Bill?
Like a bad penny, I always turn up. KD6LAN.
Yeah, but if you were a bad penny that was very old and rare, it'd be valuable. So, hey, it's always good. Glad to have you out there, Bill. All right, how about, let's see if he's out there, KJ6QYN Shelley. No, Shelley out there, how about AE6TK Victor?
Good evening, Tom and Jeanette, Victor, Santa Fe Springs.
Hey, Victor, I have a solution for your field day. Just bring about five towers, five radios, a whole bunch of coax, and we'll be set. Appreciate that if you can fill that order. Just kidding, sorry. All right, moving over here to KA6ROD, Rod. And this is KF6Q, Tech Tuesday, and the net, and the group, and every Tuesday we can, or physically can. All right, nothing out there from Rod. Let's move over here to W6JET. See if we got Rob out. All right, nothing out there for Rob, and I know I've skipped a couple people here. How about KJ6RAY, Ray?
Good evening, Tom and Annette, KJ6RAY Mobile.
And good evening there, Ray. Glad to have you out there. Appreciate you being out there this evening. All right, well, that is mostly of what I have on those two pieces of paper. And we will grab a couple others here. All righty. Let's see if we have KK6FJE. Let's see if Zach's out there. Not hearing Zach about KK6HUB. Bob.
I'm here. Good to hear you again out there, Tom. And good evening to the net, KK6HUB.
Bob, I was eavesdropping today, and I heard you out there goofing off today. I was moving dirt all day. Well, me in a wheelbarrow. But I'm here. That's okay. All right. Good to have you out there, Bob. How about W2PFA? Let's see if we got Art. All right. Now, here, Art out there. How about KK6MOS? Let's see if we have Brent.
Evening, Tom and Annette, KK6MOS, Ball on the Lake.
Hey, good evening there, Brett. Hey, just real quick and curious, heard you were down the hill the other day. I went to HRO. Did you happen to go by the 60 and 91, or did you have time?
Traffic was so bad, I went by it. I went by it as fast as I could. By the way, Art sounded his grandson's graduation tonight.
Oh, well, good deal there for Art. That's okay. And that's not a problem. Yeah, I know it gets really hectic in that area of town certain times of the day. Not a problem. All right, let's see if we have N7WNO. Mike, are you out there? All right, and I do have a list of names here. Let's see, I know this guy's probably out there. W6CYS, John.
W6CYS, good evening.
Maliciously listening he is, okay. All right, well, tons of names, tons of people on the list occasionally check in, but let's go ahead and see if there's anybody else I've missed or somebody who would like to check in as a guest this evening. Please come back to KF6Q, Tech Tuesday, and the group.
Lead check-in, KK6FJE, Zach and Sugarloaf.
Zach, we got you checked in. Glad to hear you out there. Anybody else? Well, by golly, I guess that's a wrap. Well, Jim, appreciate you helping me this evening with Tech Tuesday. And what we're going to do, as we are getting close to field day, pulling from the QST June 2014 issue. If you have it, we're on page 30. going to be talking about a portable two-element 6-meter quad. Well, okay, let's slow that down. It's a quad antenna. It's for 6 meters, and it's two-element, meaning there is a reflector and a driven element, and that's it. And this is by Pete Rimmel, or Rimmel, I'm going to say Rimmel, call sign N8PR. And this is a really good article, and it shows how to build this thing out of basic stuff like hose clamps, and PVC pipe, and a little bit of wire, and you're up and running, you know, for field day, on, or any day, actually, 6 meters. Let me reset. Cool thing about a quad, very, very, what we call wide bandwidth, okay? You cut a dipole, or you cut a Yagi or something like that, they're going to have a really specific frequency that they work best at. Quads work over a range of frequencies in that band, much wider than a dipole or a Yagi. Directionality is really good. Gain is, well, that's an argument out there. jury is still out on that one. Basically, two-element quad versus a two-element Yagi. Quad supporters will say the quad has more gain. Yagi supporters say the Yagi has more gain, but I think actually the quad does. And it's great because it has that great wide bandwidth. Well, anyway, Jim, you actually, just to retrogress here a little bit, we did this in miniature with a 2 meter. It wasn't actually PVC pipe, it was actually fiberglass rod. Pretty cool. That was, you want to just tell us a little bit about that? A lot of people out there haven't been around since that happened. Please go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, that has to be, what, 3 years ago now, I think. You and Mike Bodie had an antenna class, had a couple of them actually, and this one, Mike actually put this together and basically made two plus signs, one slightly larger than the other, wrapped some wire around it, and created an RC tuning circuit at the coax connector and a little tuning, and away it went. And I think he used 18 gauge wire. I still have it. It still works great, but it's stored away nice and safe instead of being out being used.
Well, Jim, that's okay. One of the major differences between that one and the one we're going to talk about tonight, this the one you have there, of course, quarter-inch fiberglass solid rod. Very cool. The little saw cut on the ends. And basically a lot of duct tape and glue or whatever to hold them together where they crisscross, which is really not a big deal. Actually, it's pretty easy to do. I don't even remember how we made it. It's been so long ago. But you know what? There is no hard rules on that carved in stone. Main thing is that the dimension of the wire going around is its length. Of course, it's a square, meaning as a quad. And that's important, and the length is important. Let me reset. You know, and without any math, if you actually were to shoot from the hip and do this, which he does have some dimensions in here of how far it is from the reflecting element and the driven element, but generally you can calc the driven element by the wavelength. Quads have a unique feature. Anything that's a loop, it's a loop, and it'll work by itself without the reflector. Of course, you're not going to get as much gain, and you won't get the directionality, as you'll still be getting at least a pretty good input from both directions, 180 degrees. There's a thing called the loop factor, and so you basically have to add and make the wire just a little bit longer than you normally would for a dipole. On the calc. So, anyway, start large, trim to fit, as we say. Anyway, another thing too, for the reflector, you could basically make the reflector about 5% bigger, the total length of the wire, 5% bigger than the driven element as a shot for the hip, without using any calculators. Most Yagis, quads, and whatever have this 5% for basically a 3 to 4 element. Changes as you get longer. The driven element is the key one. 5% larger for the reflector, and then 5% smaller as you work forward. That's a shot from the hip. Of course, there are a lot of good formulas out there, all free, all online, and they are all not going to be the same because there's a lot of trade-offs between bandwidth and gain. So that's why you're going to see that no two formulas are going to actually kick out the same thing. Well, Jim, one thing here, looks like he's built this whole thing out of PVC pipe and some hose clamps. And I see here he's used number 14 wire. He used a couple of T-fittings and actually cut them in half. You say, well, which way in half? Well, there only is one way. If you do it the other way, it's still the same way. If you just spun it 90 degrees, it's the same thing. Anyway, using that, they split a T-fitting, this allows it to go over the boom. Jim, what's he using here if you want to kind of just on the construction? He's got the different types or sizes of PVC pipe. What kind of pipes are you using? Back to you, Jim. KF62.
Yeah, KJ6KDL here with Tech Tuesday in the group. Yeah, he's using 3/4-inch stars to connect the four booms that make the plus for both the reflector and the active antenna. And then he's using a 1-inch T, and he's cutting the long side, the smooth side, so you get a place to stick in a pipe, and it makes a really nice cup so that when you put it on the star, it makes a fifth connection, and this allows you he's using pipe clamps to assemble the element so that they can come off. And he's actually not glued these. I pulled the ones that we did, or that Mike did, and he actually ran the 1/4-inch rods through, drilled some holes, and they're a little offset. So this is a permanent quad. It stays built, so you have to have a three-dimensional storage space. This one, he's made it so that you can detach the parts, fold them up, stick them in a portable chair bag or something, throw over your shoulder, and walk away with it.
You know, that's pretty cool, because I'll tell you right now, for those out there who do not know, of course, Mark Klebb and I built one of these on-site with all the materials, four-element, at Field Day 2009 up here, and actually cut the elements, put them together, tuned them up right there on the spot the Friday before Field Day started. Very, very interesting, and using a meter, we were able to tune that thing up. Worked pretty good. But the thing is, they're big, like real big. You got to think that around the loop, 6 meters is basically, we're talking about 50 megahertz band, and using basic shot from the hip math, 6 meters is, what is that? That's about 240 inches. Yes, that is 20 feet. So basically, each leg is about 5 feet. So this square has got a 5-foot legs on each side. It tends to be rather large, especially when it's assembled. So breaking this thing down, definitely a good idea, and I think it's just fantastic. Well, Jim, you know what? This looks pretty cool. What do you say we build one?
Absolutely. I'd like to build a 3 1/3 meter for 90 megahertz for my own personal use as well, which would be not quite, about 60% the size of this. So, yeah, I'd like to build two.
And the majority of the article is basically just that. It shows where to drill and where to cut and things of that nature. Which is great, and of course, where he has these T-fittings split, and of course he's drilled a hole through that one. I see, pretty cool. Using all this stuff, basically hose clamps. This stuff you can buy at your local hardware store, lumber yard, or do-it-yourself store, and probably fairly cheap. The fact that it's all plastic pipe, and I recommend that you stick with the sizes. You got a 1-inch boom, I believe it's the, you got a 1-inch, well, 1-inch boom, yeah, to create the boom connections. Anyway, yeah, you got to make sure you don't go any downsizing on the size of the PVC. It's flimsy enough as it is, and of course the wire keeps it nice and tight. You know, and like I say, he's used number 14 AWG stranded insulated wire, also very available at your local hardware store. So, Jim, I think this is everything is, no matter where you live, this stuff is probably readily available to anybody. Back to you.
Absolutely, and if you're like me, over the years you've been collecting things. I don't know if I have the two, what is it, 18 foot 10 inch for one of the wire links, but yeah, if you have 50 feet of 14 gauge wire hanging around, you're ready to go. And if I'm reading this right on the second page, it says 41 and a quarter inch spreader, so that makes this thing 82 and a half inches wide. So this is a pretty decent size, so it needs to get some altitude. I assume we can pull some tricks with maybe a painter's extender rod or something to get the little height off this thing, get this up in the air.
Yeah, and I think, I'm not sure what he used for that, but I would say that upsizing for the basic mast, if he's not using inch and a quarter PVC, he probably should be. But, it, you know, because it's, you need some stability up there. But being plastic, of course, you don't have to worry about any interference of any metallic elements. Got a very unique feed line system to tune the thing up. And like I say, for a basic beginner project, or if you're a seasoned ham and you want something that's portable, very, very, very cool. And, you know, I said this is designed, what he has here, for 50.1 megahertz, and he's claiming a reflection of less than 1.5 to 1 from 50 megahertz up to 50.6. So anyway, for that always can be played around with. Very, very important to remember. Let me reset here. And this is knowing from experience that the distance between the reflector and the driven element is important. If you get too close, you'll have great trouble trying to tune that thing up. It's a little further away, and I think you'll find that it's a lot easier to tune up to 50 ohms. So, anyway, real very, very cool. And let's see if there's anybody out there with any comments or questions, Jim. So we'll open it up to comments and questions from KO6Q, Tech Tuesday in the group. All right, not hearing any there. So, cool part, like I said, we always get a lot of really neat portable antenna articles as we get close to field day each year. If you do not get QST, that means you're not a member of the ARRL. And like I say, the one-year membership is equal to what you would pay for any quality radio magazine. Magazine is free with a one-year membership. And pretty neat. Not a million ads, okay? Got a whole lot of great articles. We always try to pull stuff from here when we can. Never, ever run out enough of information or articles in here, so pretty neat. And if you're a member, you can you don't need the hard copy. You can actually get the soft copy online, and that's cool, too. Anyway, Jim, the last comments before we close the net.
Yeah, absolutely. If anybody out there is wondering, what would I use this for? I know the 2-meter version, if those are interested out there, I don't know if you have it, but I know Mike sent some emails back and forth. I believe I got some of them on how to build the 2-meter version. Give an example. This creates two lobes, 245-degree spread, so it basically takes your power instead of being omnidirectional and cuts off the side so that you get more power going out the front and back of the antenna. And when we tested this, when I first got it from Mike, I stood out here, I'm not far from the general store out here in Sugarloaf, and I pointed it toward Mike Bodie's house and was talking to him on my Wuxon UV3, and Mike from Fonskin was able to hear me as well. And that's, you know, a little over basically 4 watts of output power with my handheld standing out on the side of my house. And that wasn't even direct connection. So out here in the valley with us having that long direction, if you've got a handheld and you're in Big Bear City, you can basically line this up, point it at the dam, and you can get all the way out to Baldwin Lake and the dam at the same time with your handheld, given that you're clear of the trees and the roofs.
Yeah, and that's, like I said, a two-element, really, really great for giving a little kick there. I think the reflector really helps, Jim, you know, and the gain. I don't have the numbers right here in front of me, but really, really good, you know, like I said. And it's very doable. If you're doing 2 meter, what you want to do is look for actually kite parts, like go fly a kite. That's what we used. Actually, they were fiberglass rods used for kite builders. Found those online. And fairly cheap, but actually any kind of wood dowel works. And if you don't want to build your own, there are kits out there. All cool stuff, so very cheap to do. Very economical. And I got to tell you right now, they work just fine. Doesn't matter if you build it yourself. It'll still work just like the professional models. Well, Jim, one more last call. Any questions or comments?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, Bill, go ahead.
Yeah, it doesn't pertain to 6 meter, but it does pertain to antennas. I have a new 10 meter antenna, a 3-element, that I'm constructing, and all the propaganda and stuff in there says everything about wind loads and all this stuff. Kind of a weird question, but is there any way to figure out a snow load, seeing as how we get snow once in a while up here?
Well, you know what? I don't know about snow. Ice might, if it was real wet. Yeah, because you're, you know, it's going to get on there to some degree, and at that point, I don't really think that is a major issue, because a lot of the wires, if you're looking at a quad antenna, the wires are tight, and there's not much there to stick to. If you're building a Yagi, here again, not a lot to stick to, and, you know, that's really not like a snow load on a house where you've got accumulation, just a little bit on there. But ice will build up on them, and it will actually, may not physically hurt them, it definitely impinges him, makes it really hard for them to work. there you go, got the word out. Go ahead, back to you, Bill.
Okay, yeah, the 50-cent words always tie your tongue. It's just a 3-element beam that I picked up with a Balun, and that's kind of weird because the picture doesn't show how to hook up. It shows where the wires connect to, but it doesn't show where the other thing goes to, so I'll have to talk to you about that later. But yeah, I've decided I'm going to have to build this thing on the tower, because I can't build it on the ground and then put it on the tower.
Okay, well, I get a good scaffold or something. Yeah, it's 10 meters. You're getting up there, like I said, that's half wavelength of that, and you're looking at, they just get bigger and bigger. The wavelengths get bigger, frequencies are dropping, and so on, so Anyway, well, good deal. Yeah, we'll get together on that. Any other questions or comments out there?
Comment?
Yes, Harold, go ahead.
On that snow load, it'd be pretty difficult because you have such a variation in the weight of the snow. That depends on the water content. A lot of it's really heavy and a lot of it's just light fluff, like handling feathers. So you'd have a table on that one, I think, and that would be too accurate. 86 feet.
Yeah, on my HF antenna, which is a G5RV homemade knockoff, which has the wind snapped the little cloth wire, cloth I had up there, cable, it lasted for quite a few years. But anyway, the wire part is still good, and it's very funny. It's like when we would get a really wet snow, I have number 14 speaker wire insulated. Isn't that big, but when we had a real wet snow, it looked like it literally was at least a half an inch in diameter. But then again, when we had a real light snow, you'd get a little bit of buildup, and it would just, you know, basically as it built up, it'd finally just fall off. So, yeah, it's a real big variable. And but that wet snow is what actually makes power lines up here fail. They get so heavy, put a lot of load on something, and it finally snaps. So, very, very variable. So, anyway, thanks, Harold. Good point. Any other questions for the Tech Tuesday Net before we close the net?
Comment?
Yeah, go ahead.
KK6MOS. Yeah, Tom, I'm putting up my 6 10-meter ground plane antenna. It talked a lot about ice, so it didn't talk about anything about snow, but rain and ice is a big topic.
Yeah, roger that. And you'll find up here in Big Bear that we get, we generally get rain or snow. Sometimes we get the ice, not a lot. Generally, the temperature drops, it goes from one to the other pretty quick. But I'm sure across the Midwest and back east, we've seen all those ice storms, and it just literally destroys everything. So anyway, good comment. Anybody else before we close the net?
KJ6TDL.
Yes, go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, I found one of the quad antenna companies on the internet that said UCF EDU and put in 50 megahertz, 18 gauge wire, 2-element quad, and it comes up with an approximate free space gain of 7.048 dB. And I'm not sure what the approximate rate of gain change means, but it says 1.18 per 1% of design frequency. So it looks like, you know, somewhere around 6 or 7 dB gain on this, on a typical 2-element quad.
Yeah, I know, it's pretty good. That's why that little 2-meter even works so good for you there. So, yeah, quads are good. 3-element, really, even better yet. And the 3-element tends to be, you know, still doable, especially if you build it the same way. So you could actually take his article here and expand it to a 3-element and get a director out in front there. But you may not need that. So, you know, it's all about, you know, how many elements do we add? Well, we can add a lot, but, you know, eventually it gets too doggone big. Anyway, last call for comments and questions. Good deal. I'd like to thank everybody joining us tonight for Tech Tuesday. And as we are getting busier through the summer, we will probably be missing a couple of them. There will be no Tech Tuesday next week, but there will be one the following, which will be the fourth Tuesday. That'll be the Tuesday before Field Day. So no Tech Tuesday next week, but we will have one on the fourth Tuesday, which will be 2 weeks from tonight. So anyway, that's it. So I want to thank everybody again. This is Tom Fry, KSXQ, Net Control for the Tech Tuesday Net. We close in the net at 1900 hours and 36 minutes, 7:36 normal time. Returning the repeater back to also normal use. Thanks for joining us, KS6Q.